Aren't you glad you're a Christian? All right, let's take a look at last week's memory verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Star Wars 9 came out this last week on DVD and Blu-ray. I've always enjoyed the Star Wars movies. I know they're not the best movies ever made, but they're fun, and I've seen them many times. I've shown them to my kids many times. And so I'm going to be preaching on Star Wars. No, I'm going to be preaching on hope. But hope is an important theme in the Star Wars movies. And besides Episode 4 being titled A New Hope, I found about 25 quotes from the different Star Wars movies on hope. Don't worry, I won't subject you to all those, but let me just share a few of them. You have brought hope to those who have none. We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope. Hope is like the sun. If you only believe it when you see it, you'll never make it through the night. We're the very last of the resistance, but we're not alone. In every corner of the galaxy, the downtrodden and oppressed know our symbol, and they put their hope in it. We've got friends out there. They'll come if they know there's hope. And as they keep making Star Wars movies, I suspect there will be more quotes on hope to come. Well, spoiler alert, hope is also an important theme in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. The New Testament was, of course, originally written in Koine Greek, and the Greek word for hope, elpis, is found over 80 times in the New Testament in its various forms. So, what is it? Well, one thing that becomes very clear as you read through Scripture is that biblical hope is not, I wish I may, I wish I might, cross your fingers and hope for the best. We usually use the word to express uncertainty. I hope Dad gets home early enough so we can play catch before it gets dark. Or, our hope is that our son will get the job. Or, I hope my football team wins this Sunday. Or even, I hope I win the lottery. It's desire plus uncertainty. And we sometimes refer to it as wishful thinking when we try to hope something in or out of existence. But that's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is desire plus expectation. This is something we desire that we know to be true. It is confident expectation. We are certain. As it says in Hebrews 6:11, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Ours is not a lip-biting, finger-crossing hope. And we find Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Why are we so sure? Because it's rooted in the faithfulness of God. Also, take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Peter called it a living hope. You see, Jesus is alive. Like in that Star Wars title, A New Hope. When Jesus came, that was humanity's new hope. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Laid up means that it's already in existence and reserved for us. A faithful Christian has an assigned place in the heavenly realm. That is our Christian hope. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, taking our punishment, we get to be with God in heaven. Now, you know that feeling you got as a little kid when your family was talking about the upcoming vacation or your class was talking about the upcoming field trip? The expectation and excitement. Well, that's how we ought to feel when we think and talk about heaven. It's really coming. So, what's so good about hope anyway? Well, as an anchor holds a ship in place, hope prevents a Christian from drifting away. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And he went on. Now, I want us to memorize this little statement. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Now, I know that some of you enjoy boating, and some of you get seasick just drinking a glass of water. I haven't spent much time on boats, and so I looked it up. Some anchors are better than others, and they're designed for different things. I think the first anchors were simply rocks. As Christians, our anchor is not money or fame or power or the bottom of a bottle. It's hope. Not hope in the government or in our families or in our teachers or in our coaches or in our abilities. It's hope in God and getting to be with him in heaven. Besides keeping a ship in its desired location, I read that an anchor also helps with controlling a ship during bad weather, dealing with the pitch and roll and so forth. And when we have this hope, it is much easier to deal with the difficulties of this realm. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but life is kind of hard. And so it helps us to look past the sufferings to our eternal reward. This world is not my home. Hope will keep you going. It's been said, as oxygen is to the lungs, so hope is to the human heart. And that's why some psychologists came up with a test called the Hope Scale, which you can find online and take. And there's usually only 6 to 12 questions, depending on what version you take, but they can make quite a few predictions based on it. I've heard of experiments in the past with rats, where they would put them in a container of water to see how long they could swim before giving up. And they would probably never let them do it today. They found if you cover the top so that there is no apparent means of escape, the rats will quickly give up and drown. But if you uncover the top, the rats will swim for hours and hours before they drown because there is hope. They can see a means of escape. And they also found that if you pull the rats out for a second and put them back in, they'll swim up to twice as long because there is hope of possibly being rescued again. Hope is so important, even for a rat. And that is what we have. Not a rat, but hope. I did have a pet rat as a kid, but okay, here it is again. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul mentioned their steadfastness or perseverance of hope. Hope is why we keep on keeping on. Hope is why we don't throw in the towel, to use a boxing term. That's why I think we should think and talk about heaven more. It helps to keep the difficulties in perspective. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul was talking about the difficulties he had gone through in his ministry, but that he did not lose heart. In verse 16, he said, "Therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And he went on to talk about that. As the illustration goes, it's kind of like camping. I know there's quite a few of you who like to go camping. But when you go camping, you can put up with a lot of stuff, like sleeping on the ground, bathing in the river, and so forth, because you know it's just temporary, and you get to go home at the end of the trip. When we think about heaven, it helps us to remember that we're just sojourners here. It's kind of like we're camping. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. There's an old song we sing called, "Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All." "Often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may here appall, but the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling in pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Revelation 7 says, they will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And Revelation 21 says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Wipe away every tear from their eyes. I believe Thomas More was right. Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. It's been said, from heaven, even the most miserable life will look like one bad night at an inconvenient hotel. In Matthew 5:12, after talking about some of the difficulties, Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Christians have more cause to rejoice than any other people on earth. You see, we've found the meaning of life, and we have a great reward coming to us. Why should we think and talk about heaven? Because it helps us to stay focused and to stay on track. Peter was talking about the second coming in 2 Peter 3 and made a very important statement. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. We don't know when the Lord will return, and we don't know when we will die. We're all terminal. There's a lot more than just the coronavirus. This week, any one of us could die from a car accident, a fatal heart attack, a stray bullet, a giant meteor falling from the sky, an attack from the Death Star. Well, probably not that last one. But we're not promised tomorrow. Since that is true, we need to make sure that we're ready. Thinking and talking about heaven can help us to see that we don't want to miss out on it. God has done his part. He sent his Son, and he's always there to help us. It's now up to us to do our part. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And wouldn't it be great if everyone listening to this made it to heaven? One last thing. We should think and talk about heaven because it helps us to remember to keep an eye for the lost. We have a job to do. Remember the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Remember Jesus' words on being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Matthew 5. Remember 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As it's been asked, what would you think of the person who found the cure for cancer and just kept it to himself or herself? Or right now, the coronavirus pandemic. We've found the cure for something much worse, the cure for sin and hell. Thinking about heaven will encourage us to tell those who will listen. How are we going to feel on the judgment day when our friend or relative says, you knew, and you didn't tell me? And so, hopefully, you can understand a little more why the Hebrew writer said hope is an anchor. So, one last time. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. As in the words of Vice Admiral Holdo, "In every corner of the galaxy, the downtrodden and oppressed know our symbol, and they put their hope in it." Let's be one of them. Not the symbol of the resistance, but the symbol of the cross of Christ and our hope of heaven.